Okay, and welcome to this month's Going Native. As always, I'm Steve Carroll, the dev manager for the Microsoft C++ team. And with us today, we have...
Hi, my name is Ulzi Lofsamat. I am the engineering manager for the Microsoft C++ compiler front-end team, the team that's responsible for lexing and parsing the C++ code.
Okay, great. So today we have a big announcement. What is it?
So today with Visual Studio 2017, 15.7 release, the compiler team is happy to announce that the rejuvenation project that we have been undertaking last 6 years, we've had a big milestone in catching up with the C++ standards that we have been working on.
Right, so this is the end, it's the last major milestone on a long road that we've been working towards. So we've talked about the rejuvenation project before on the thing. I think we had Jim and Mark on to talk about that, the details of that. But can you give folks just a quick overview of what we've been up to and why?
Yeah, so rejuvenation project essentially means we have a very old code base for the MSVC compiler, rightfully so. It dates back to 1982 or so with the comments inside. And we never really had a chance to rewrite from scratch in the last 36, 37 years.
And you still haven't.
Yeah, we still haven't. But we always had to ship features based on this code base and keep up with the C++ standards, new evolving language, as well as demands and requests from internal teams and customers around our compiler and C++ features. So rejuvenation essentially means, okay, let's take a look at this the old code base we have, and let's try to replace parts, if not the whole thing, and modernize it in a way that we can accommodate latest new C++ advanced features, as well as make it more efficient and make it bug-free going forward.
Yeah, so, and I think that the key thing that I really want to drive home for people is like the state of the art of how to build and architect a compiler has changed a lot over the past 30 years. And so because we were still 6 years ago using that architecture, there were all sorts of things that were, like, it required basically magic of very dedicated developers to try to get them to work. I think, like, just doing variadic templates in the old code base was something like a miracle.
Yeah.
And we didn't want any more miracles. We wanted to make it a better place for us to get things done in so that we could keep up.
Yeah. So one clear example is the compiler was written in a way that we couldn't do two-phase in lookup, which unfortunately meant a lot of the C++, advanced C++ features depended on this this behavior of the compiler.
Because the code had been written that way,
yes,
right?
So we say 6 years ago for rejuvenation, and the actual thing that happened was with Visual Studio 2015 RTW release, we added a new fully bound semantic tree that replaced the old model for static analysis, an ASD tree that was different from what the compiler had internally generated code to the backend.
And this is the thing that would have been like, if you use slash analyze in the product, you were hitting these code paths. But if you weren't hitting slash analyze, you probably didn't notice we did all that work.
Yeah, so that was a huge milestone in terms of the rejuvenation work. There was little visible value to the customers outside, and the fact that many customers didn't even notice that we did it, that is the successful outcome, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after that, though, because we had the foundation tree implemented inside the compiler, we were able to focus more on creating a syntax accurate tree, or an ASD, abstract syntax tree, top down, in order to support, actually enable the two-phase name lookup and all the other advanced C++ features.
And I think we also completely rewrote the parser.
Exactly. So to do that, we obviously could not continue on with the old parser. The old parser here is a YAC generated parser. And while that was good enough to do a lot of things over the many years, we needed to totally replace that with a new recursive descent parser in the compiler. But the challenge was we needed to do that in place. So today, a lot of you don't know, the two parsers are actually running side by side in order to support all these
and like
features.
I want to really stress for people that the fact that like we had to take that choice because of the fact of how much code exists in the universe that requires all of the quirks of our non-standardized version of C++. So we really had to find a way that we could chart through both keeping people's customers' code that they also wrote in 1982 and expect to keep working every time they get a new version of Visual Studio, while still being able to add all these magical new, you know, fancy features that are from C++ 11, 14, and 17. Yeah. It's like swimming in between, which brings us to permissive minus, I think, right?
Yes. So as you just said, we have obligation to many of our loyal customers, and we thank you for that. That we cannot be breaking them with a new release or under the notion of modernizing the compiler,
right?
So we had to be, you know, we had to be clever. We had to
deliberate.
Find ways. to find ways deliver value to customers, new customers, as well as keep the legacy enterprise customers or people who depend on the old behavior without being burdened by these new features or by the new compiler changes. So in order to do that, one of the examples, one of the channels that we created inside the compiler, or mode, if you will say, is permissive minus. It's basically a way of saying, okay, if you ever want a compiler to be more strict and more and less permissive about non-standard features that we have had in our compiler, then here's a mode that you could turn on and start writing standard C++ code that's portable, that could be compiled by MSVC, as well as could be compiled by Clang and GCC if you want to.
Yeah. And so if you throw that, you're getting mostly the new code. And if you're not throwing that, you're sometimes still getting the new code because, of course, our intention is to have only one.
Yes.
Permissive
minus, as I said, is one of the channels. We have also introduced new channels for new features based on the specific standards the standard feature versions and the standard version switches. Those are std C++ 14, std C++ 17. So this way we could organize around for the new features when they get implemented.
And in some ways matching the other compilers.
Yeah. Yeah,
you get sort of a...
Yeah, we're still catching up.
Massive innovation, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's great. All right, so where does that bring us to? Okay, so where are we today? First of all, what should people expect to have work starting in 15.7?
So 15.7 is a good milestone, is an important milestone, as we said before. We expect our users, the developers, to throw the std 17 switch and expect all the the C++ 17 compiler language features to be available under that switch.
Yeah, there's just to put the small asterisks on there, in the libraries, I believe the character conversion things, there are still a few more to come
in
a future update.
Yeah.
But as far as we know, those are not available in actually anyone's libraries yet, so that's good to know.
Yeah. Which is why I'm saying compiler, the language.
So we'd be excited and it'd be a big announcement if it were just C++ 17 being language complete modulo that particular library.
Yeah.
But there are also things from the old standards that we're adding here, right?
Yeah. So the C++ 11 and C++ 98, they have their features that we have been working on and have been shipping partial support in the last few releases. Those are expressions finite and the two-phase name lookup. These are big behemoths. We couldn't just do it in one release.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, it depends on a lot of the inner working of the compilers that we worked on. We're finally with this release saying that we are caught up with these. Of course, we have a few bugs. We are tracking those bugs, but we're happy to say that we are done with these features.
Right. So let's talk. It's great. Like, what's next, though? Like, what's left to do? What's left in our conformance backlog? And then we'll get to what we want people to do.
What's
for us next?
What do you mean? What's next? We're done. This is
all the bugs are out.
Yeah,
we're done.
We're
wonderful.
Done.
Me and Woolsey will be retiring to a desert island, sipping out of some sort of umbrellaed drink. Is that correct?
Right. So as we enable ourselves, as we modernize our compiler, we open ourselves into many many more opportunities and many more features. Obviously, we are going to keep up with the C++ standards. We don't want to fall behind.
Right.
We want to keep up with them. We want to stay ahead of features that are released already.
Yeah, we get a lot of
contribute,
TS work.
Yeah, contribute to TS technical specifications, drive them. An example is we're already working on C++ modules TS in our compiler, and we're going to continue working through that, and as well as look into other TSs that are going to be prominent. Will be available in the next C++ standard.
So let me play the role of the angry internet commenter, and we can do a little rude Q&A right now. Okay. So what about the preprocessor?
What about the preprocessor? So yes, the preprocessor. You know, from our point of view, it is also old. And we are definitely working on rewriting the preprocessor ground up as well. And we want to follow the same model as we did with the new parser, replace it in place without any impact to the existing customers.
But I think also, like the other stuff that we did, the preprocessor has enough weird quirks in it that we'll have to be careful about how people opt in and tell us that they need that. So it may be one of these permissive minus kind of situations, just to set expectations.
Exactly.
I think.
So when I say the same model, what I mean is exactly that. We need to find a way that we could carry both the existing the new customers and the old customers forward without hindering them with any adoption blockers.
So the other question I get asked all the time by people on the internet, for instance, is like, okay, but you say that you've caught up on conformance, but I still have, you know, such and such a bug. So if people are seeing conformance gaps, like what should they do or what should they expect from us?
Well, that's a good question. I also used to be the test lead for the compiler team for, I don't know, 10 years or so.
So this is near to your heart.
Oh yeah, testing is a big deal to me and to our team. Bugs, when we have bugs, we look at the dev community bugs for our compiler, and we take them very, very seriously. We want to fix them. We want to fix them all in the next release as much as we can. So we have taken many positive actions, many different approaches in how we want to validate the compiler in every release. Just quickly, historically, we used to have these, you know, built-in in-house tests that we have developed ourselves. Mm-hmm. We also purchase third-party tests from, you know, Plumhall, Perennial, McCluskey, and we ensure those are okay. We build some big internal code bases, and we said this is good, and we ship it, and it's been good enough-ish for the past releases. But going forward, and in the last few releases, we have focused more towards community code bases, stuff
like
that's out there.
Stuff.
Yeah, open source libraries, projects that are open source, the code bases that we've never considered or never really built in-house. We've only received bugs after we've shipped, and then we would fix it, and it'll go back and forth a few times until the project finally builds clean. So we wanted to go after those. And today we have two testing repositories that we actively use mm-hmm. on a daily basis. We have VC package, as you all know, the build package mm-hmm. manager that has about 600-700 now.
I think we're at 900 now, actually.
Wow! So yeah. 900 C++ libraries that target Visual Studio build and Windows, right? Mm-hmm. So those are built on daily basis. At least on a weekly basis with the development compiler, so that we catch any regressions before we actually release.
So certainly, if you have open source stuff, you should add it to VC package so that we can make
definitely.
Sure that we don't break it.
That would be if you are an open source library owner, a C++ open source library owner, and you want to ensure that MSVC compiler in the future doesn't break you or vice versa, right? The best way for you to do that would be to subscribe yourself and add yourself to the VC package.
Right, and then, like for instance, we actually end up making contributions when there are necessary changes in the compiler and stuff like that.
Yes. So, just real quick, looking back, I would actually consider and I would actually say that building open source libraries and projects from GitHub through VC package or in our daily model
custom one, yeah.
that has been the most valuable testing method for compiler than our existing in-house tests that we have written. I mean, those are good baseline tests.
Yeah, 30 years.
But it's just the language is evolving so fast. There's new code just going out, you know, just coming out left and right. Keeping up with that, the only way to do that is reaching out, somehow reaching out the latest C++ code, and that to me is VC package.
Got it. Yeah. Okay, any other things that where you want to tell people, like any libraries that you want to call out as we know we're working on them? Or?
Oh, yeah. So we definitely want to go after some popular libraries like Ranges, Range V3, and the Ranges for the standards one that's been considered. That I think depends
the concepts
on concepts.
One.
As well as Boost HANA. We've been working on that last many releases. We have identified where the problems are, and we with these, you know, two-phase name lookup, expressions, finite fixes, those are getting slashed. We still have some straggles that we have
not
to
quite yet on those ones.
Yes.
All right.
And also, Facebook Folly just came online. That had never been built with MSVC.
So. Great. So call to action. So 15.7 at the moment that we are recording this is in the preview channel. Please, by all means, download that if you have code. Please build with it. We are pretty confident that we have, solid quality in that. But, you know, definitely want to hear about it. If we have any conformance gaps, let us know. Add your package to VC package so that we can make sure that we keep it running as we go forwards. Please, by all means, go to Dev Community for any bugs that you have. And in particular, if you could upvote ones if somebody else has filed it, that will help us do our prioritization work. We're going to fix everything. We're going to fix all the bugs, but we are going to do them in an order. And please help us use your upvotes to identify the most important ones to go after first.
Yes.
Okay. And thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.